Okay. All right. So we are on the third episode on social media. This is a three-part series. And Katie, you graced us two episodes ago with your presence, first of all, but your presence as it pertains to your amazing four-post social media strategy, which, by the way, we have been nose to the grindstone, not heads down, bums up, because we just learned that is actually an Australian saying and not an American one. We have been nose to the grindstone implementing your four-post social media strategy, which we actually spoke about in the last episode. So this one today, we actually want to dive deeper into some questions, some struggles, some things that just came up as we were implementing that we wanted to get some clarification on. So welcome back to the podcast, Katie.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be back again. And
Yes. Anytime
I get to, my two favorite Aussies. So anytime I get to sit down with you too makes me very, very happy.
Thank you. We'll take that. So I'm also, for anyone who is not watching this on YouTube, we are also joined by my co-founder, Bonner Rai. Hey, Bonner.
Hello, the second Aussie in the group of non-Aussie and Aussie people.
Trio.
In a trio?
Yep. We may need to edit that bit out, but I wanted to start. Katie, can you just kick us off really quickly about telling us about that book that I see right above your head behind you, The Social Shift? You've been making waves on social media with this book. And so I want to give you 30 seconds to tell everyone about it.
Yeah, so The Social Shift is all about bringing social media back to the way it was originally intended. How we were showing up and building community. We weren't spending all day on our phones. We were getting in, connecting, and then going out and building those connections IRL. The four-post strategy is in there and is now available on Amazon. So, you know, for those of you that are Kindle readers or like to read on ebooks, you can read it on your favorite devices now by getting it on Amazon.
Yes. All right. We'll leave the link in the show notes. I've got my copy and I cannot wait to dive in. It's going to be easy. Okay. Let's get to the serious stuff, shall we? I'm going to start sort of with questions higher level and then we'll get into some of the detail. But I remember a couple of years ago, you know, that it was the advice out there was all about content domination. You know, it was very much a Gary Vee thing, you know, like you got to be on all the platforms. And I believed that. So I was like on all the platforms and it literally burnt me and my team out. So can you tell us what your best advice is for people who are like, how do I be on all the platforms? Like, what do you say to them?
I think it is a really common misconception of that well, you have to be everywhere because what if your audience isn't there? And one thing that I saw that was really cool at Capshovian's Live in January was Molly Mahoney and Alicia Barr had never met IRL. And I introduced them in the hallway and I said, do you guys know each other? And they were like, oh, yeah, well, let's become friends on social media. Let's connect. And Molly immediately said, well, what's your platform? Alicia's on all the platforms. Molly's on all the platforms. But she said, what's your main platform? All of us have a main platform. And it's the platform that you go to when you're, hey, you know, and I got the extra couple minutes. I'm just going to go ahead and scroll through the feed. Which feed do you want to scroll? Do you want to scroll the LinkedIn feed? Do you want to scroll the Facebook feed, the TikTok feed? But which is your feed of choice? And which one do you see the most results from? And it's not to say that you should completely ignore the other ones. I mean, grab your handles there, you know, pop in every now and then to say hello. But all of these platforms have different intention, different ways of showing up, different way of consuming content. And your audience will connect with you on the platforms that you enjoy posting on and you're creating the most content for.
So just actually building on that, Katie, you know, once you've made that mindset shift around, actually, you don't need to be everywhere. You don't need to be Gary Vee. You don't need to be absolutely on in every single platform. I think other than the factor you talked about, which is like, where do you feel most at home and where do you feel actually you enjoy, which platform do you enjoy the most? Would you mind sharing a little bit more about how do you decide on which platforms exactly because of the way that maybe your audience shows up on that? Because I think that's one thing that, you know, we had a little bit of a challenge around to say, okay, cool. We don't have to be on all of the platforms, but do we need to be on X / Twitter? Like, you know, how do we, other than where do we enjoy being, like, what are some other factors to think about when deciding which platforms to be on?
a lot of it does come into who your target audience is. Like, what's your big goal? You know, who is it that you're talking to? So for me, I think it's getting up there, but it's my second largest platform now, but it's LinkedIn. Mm. But that's where I get all my lead gen. That's where I get, you know, I get the likes, I get the views over on Instagram. It's my biggest, you know, following is over on Instagram, but I'm not getting a ton of leads from it for done for you social media services. Now, if people want to join a webinar, if people want my free content calendar, if they want to buy my book, there's a lot. That's where I see a lot of my lower ticket sales come from. Again, it's a different way of talking and showing up on Instagram than it is over on LinkedIn. And kind of what I was talking about with the four post strategy is, how can you take this one idea, this one theme, and know who your audience is on each of these platforms so that you're showing up and giving value for that audience, the way they best consume content, and the different offers that you can sell to them. Does that make sense? I think that I'm still working on growing my Facebook audience, but I've found that that audience is more willing to go to speaking events. They're more willing to listen to my podcast. Mm-hmm. So it's really seeing, okay, if I talk about this theme and what my audience that's currently following me on this platform and the way that the platform wants me to create content, can I give it all the love and the attention, tweaking of social media posts that the platform and my audience deserves? Does that make sense? Does that answer your question? I feel like
yes.
It really comes down to knowing who you're talking to and really what is the end goal. For me on LinkedIn, I want more people to sign up for Done For You services. On Instagram, mm-hmm. I want them to buy my book. On Facebook, I would love for them to listen to my podcast and come to a speaking event. Mm-hmm. So it's really knowing how does your audience want to buy from you on these specific platforms.
Mm. Wow, that is actually a really, like, for me, that was a bit of an epiphany for me, the way that you said that, because it's so important for us to actually not just put content out there. I think we can be so guilty of that, of like, you know, we just think that the social media world just revolves around us and what it is that we want to say, but it's actually, what are people on there to do and how do we meet that need? That's really cool.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and I talked about this at Capshovians Live, is looking at your insights to see who your audience is. And that, like, so for example, I recently posted, I'm doing an in-person speaking event coming up here in Denver. And I had a lot of people on my Facebook side saying they wanted to come. I got a lot of signups from that. On Instagram, I got one. I got zero on LinkedIn. I know that, like, by like a lot of the founders that follow me, the people that have a CEO and CXO are the typical job titles for people that follow me on LinkedIn, they're not going to want to come out to this event. Now, if it was a webinar or maybe, it, you know, like a free, you know, 90-minute strategy session or something that I was offering, they'd sign up for it, but they're not going to come out. So, I mean, it's really looking to see who your audience is on these platforms and the way that they best relate to the offers that you have. Yeah. And now you might be saying, like, well, does this mean I need to have like 12 different offers? No. But how can you take the theme from a podcast episode and tweak it so that the action is what that, you know, audience member on that specific platform wants to take?
And what I like about that as well, that implementation insight in there, is almost giving yourself permission, if you don't know what that is, you know, to actually try out different things so that you can get those insights. It's the fact that, you know, you're an expert at this and you're still testing out different things on different platforms to build that understanding, to give you confidence for future weeks. So I love that. That's something that I think we need to take note of as well.
Yeah. And also I think calling out, I just want to call this out as well, is like, what does success actually look like on social media? Because you mentioned three different platforms with almost like three different outcomes almost that you're looking for from each of them. Did you kind of have a hypothesis going into those platforms, knowing what that would be, what success looks like, or did you just kind of figure it out along the way?
This is where it's really going to come down. So I have a friend who, she has a very, I love the way that she writes. She's a phenomenal writer, but she gets a ton of engagement over on LinkedIn, and she's still putting the other stuff out on Instagram and Facebook. But on Instagram, she'll get like one like, if that. Whereas over on LinkedIn, man, she has 34 comments. And I'm like, wow. And it's really identifying that. So now she's done enough testing to see, based on kind of doing this mass posting that she's been doing, she has enough evidence to say like, okay, my LinkedIn audience loves these types of posts. I'm just going to do these types of posts with these types of offers on LinkedIn. I don't even need to worry about trying to, like, I know I can just click a button to share it over there, but why? No one's engaging with it anyways, right? It's just white noise. Might as well just make my Instagram account have that, like, basically be the FAQ section of my website, answering potential problems or questions, so that when anyone comes over to it, okay, now they know what I do, who I serve, and how to best get in touch with me. It helps eliminate the platforms that aren't working for you and the offers that you have.
And that's a really good point as well, Katie, around, I think, as we get even more granular into implementing the strategy, I know one of the challenges, or, you know, I guess, you know, things we've had to think about is, and a lot of our listeners as well, I suppose, would have this, you almost have, like, as experts in the space, you know, or thought leaders, or, you know, people who are looking to build credibility, you have your personal brand. So I guess for yourself, you'd have Katie Brinkley. For us, Deidre's the face of the brand. So you have Deidre Shen, but then you also have, like, your business brand. So that could be, you know, in your case, the more done for you stuff, and people are buying into you still, but there's almost like a company brand as well, or a, you know, so for us, that's one of the, I guess, you know, things to think about is like, okay, what would Deidre speak about on her social media? And what should we be mindful of, you know, kind of distinguishing for capture social media, but they're still kind of cohesive. So it's not totally random and different. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. And I think that when you do have someone that's the face of the brand, like I'm the face of my brand, but there's five people that work with me, you know, so it's, but I'm the face of it. So when I'm selling the opportunity to work with me and my team. And so same for Deidre, she's selling the opportunity to work with her and her product. But you, Deidre, you're speaking on podcasts, you're speaking on stages, you've written a book. You have all these other things to elevate you as to why people can trust you. And that's where putting that outlet of, this is a podcast that I spoke on. The end goal is to maybe go listen to that podcast, or maybe it is to sign up for Capshow, but you can use the brilliance that you shared on somebody else's podcast as part of that strategy leading up to, on maybe Facebook, it's to sign up for Capshow, and on LinkedIn, it's to, you know, buy your book or something, or listen to the show, mm-hmm. or whatever. So you can just tweak it based on that. As far as Capshow is concerned, I think that this is where this podcast is going to be an incredible driver for content for the Capshow page. You know, user-generated content. People share, I mean, I love me some Capshow. So, I mean, you can share, you know, there's Katie Brinkley talking about Capshow on her podcast again. You sharing the user-generated content and the success that a lot of the users have seen by using your product. So I think that you have the opportunity by having your own podcast and so many users that use Capshow to put that out on the Capshow account. Whereas Deidre, she's the thought, no offense, Bonna, but she's the thought leader behind Capshow. This is why you should know, like, and trust her. Look at, she's doing all these things, and this is her product. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's almost like the real focus on your personal brand should be about really very specifically, like, your voice and your perspective, and then almost your business brand, in our case, is the product, but it could be something else for those people who are listening. It's really making your customers and your clients the voice, as not just the community post, but truly the voice of the brand in a way.
Yes, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. This is cool. You know what my mind goes to? It goes to, like, post. We talk a lot about posting and for post social media strategy. And seriously, since we've been working with you and implementing everything that you've been teaching us, the posting now has almost become like, oh, is this it? I mean, it gets to be kind of simple, a little bit easy, but I kind of want to then now extend the conversation from just posting, because I know in my mind, I'm like, well, now how do we get new people to see this great things that we're posting? So yeah. What are some tips, hacks, things that you found have worked? And, you know, maybe we can drill into like, say, yeah, those three, because I know you talk about Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, because I'm sure that there's maybe a different strategy or way to do it, but I'd love to know what it is that, how do you get your content in front of new people?
It's playing the way that these algorithms and these platforms want you to try their product. So YouTube, I know that I'm throwing YouTube in there now at you guys. YouTube, taking this and doing a ton of shorts. I was able to grow my Rocky Mountain Marketing Podcast YouTube channel from like 70 up to, I think I'm at like 2,100, only using shorts. Now, YouTube, at the time of this recording, about a week ago, they released vertical going live. Like so going live in portrait mode, not in just horizontal landscape. Mm-hmm. You should be using that. Go live vertically on YouTube because nobody else is doing it and it's a new thing. And they want people to see it. If you want to have the opportunity to potentially like go viral, grow some more audience, go portrait mode live on YouTube right now. On Instagram, they introduced the poll feature. Include a poll in your reel. So instead of having a hook, like a hook and all these things, your hook should be like, tell me what you think by voting below and clicking the poll. So I mean, you can actually have a poll in Instagram now that's attached to a reel. There's new features that these platforms push out, kind of trying to test it and see what people think of it. When they release these new features and you're like, hey, I'm kind of stuck on growing right now, try the new feature. I on LinkedIn, you know, I still am a huge fan of polls. I think people tend to overcomplicate them. I haven't seen your guys' polls from the last couple of weeks. So, but I mean, like, this is where take your polls. And if you're not getting engagement in them, you can push it out to your email list. You know, if like, so for me, like, I have a very small but mighty email list. If anyone wants to sign up for it, just, you know, go to cagemerkley.com/content calendar. But I have about a 60% open rate, which is great for, so I mean, I'm essentially reaching around 1,800 people that want to open up and read what I say. So if I want to make, I mean, I'm not relying on an algorithm then. I can then say like, okay, you 1,800 people, I really want you to vote in this poll. Maybe they're not following you on LinkedIn. I can attach the poll in there and be like, okay, now I can maybe get some new eyes on this. And if they click and engage on it, well, then guess what? LinkedIn's algorithms, like 2014 Facebook, it's amazing. So now it's been pushed out into their audience's feed. You're getting more eyes on your content. So take these other, like if you have email, if you have, that there's new features coming out and you're seeing things kind of flatline, see if there's a new feature that you can incorporate in. See if you can share something with your email list if you have an engaged list. See if you know, there's multiple ways to kind of cross-pollinate your audiences without cross-pollinating your content.
That was really cool because we have tried that. It's almost like having, and I know you suggested this to us, but almost sometimes when you might be stuck to what to say in an email, but you've got the overall, you're following the four posts, social media strategy, so you have the overall theme. And then to your point, we did the same thing where we just take a screenshot of the poll or an article that we've written, a LinkedIn article that we've written. We know we don't have a lot of engagement there, but to your point, just drive people over there to engage. And then you can almost track, okay, like, you know, definitely click-throughs to LinkedIn, it's higher than Facebook. That's interesting. Or, you know, you link the Facebook Live that Deidre would have done in the email and just kind of get a sense of where your email list may be. But then you also alert them to the fact that you do have a social media presence. So that's worked quite well for us. We should do that more. But that's a really good point about just leveraging audiences you already have, not on social media.
And I think that what have you guys seen as far as doing that? Have you seen a kind of bump in engagement or has it kind of been like, meh?
A sort of different results across the board. Like, for example, there was one time that we sent people over to the poll had done quite well on LinkedIn. And we just actually shared the results in the email to say, well, you know, 75% of people said this was actually really difficult. And then we actually sent them to more of a call to action. So it was an action email. And then we definitely saw the spike in the registration. There's been times when, yeah, we've done a spontaneous Facebook Live and didn't have a lot of engagement while being on Facebook, but we sent our email audience there. whilst there wasn't a lot of comments in the replays, definitely there were a lot of click-throughs on that. So we're like, okay, that we should do that periodically, not too much, but periodically. And then the third example was we did a bit of a shorter email and we said, hey, read the whole thing over. By the way, did you know we have a LinkedIn newsletter? We haven't done a very good job of sharing about it, but go check it out. And we did see a spike in subscribers for the newsletter. So we're seeing, I think, varying sorts of results, but just good things to experiment with, because worst case is that it's a highly engaging email. Best case is it's a highly engaging email and you get some eyes on your social media content. So I think it's a really good strategy.
Yeah, I think that not everyone follows me on, maybe a lot, I get a lot of opt-ins for the content calendar from Instagram. Like I can see the UTM link, this is where they're coming from. They're mostly coming from Instagram, but maybe they're really not on Instagram that often. They just happen to stumble across me. LinkedIn's their main platform. What if I share a poll that's I could use some more engagement in? And email person's like, I didn't even think to follow her on LinkedIn, or maybe I thought I was. I'm going to go and engage with her poll and now I'm going to follow her. And now they're seeing the type of content that maybe they're a better fit for other than the stuff that I'm posting over on Instagram. And that's why they haven't bought the book, because they don't need a book. They just need social media done for them. And they didn't know that it wasn't even an option, you know?
Yeah. This is so cool. Okay. I think I have one last question. I want to go into the posting strategy. So back to the four posts. If you don't know what we're talking about when we say four post social media, you have to know. So go back to two episodes ago, because Katie just literally went one, two, three, four, super clear. One of those is the community post. And I think that this is probably the one that I, and maybe a lot of people would most likely struggle with, because I know that I don't love talking about myself, for example. And it's for some people, it's really easy to be like, oh, this small thing happened in my life. I'm going to draw, you know, make an analogy or draw a parallel to, you know, the topic that I want to talk about this week. So for people who maybe that's not second nature to them, do you have any advice in terms of how they can, you know, come up with really great community posts?
The community posts are the funnest posts, because it's you. You know, that it gets to show a little bit of your personality, a little bit of the behind the scenes for you. You know, you guys have such a cool way of showcasing your community posts, whether it's you speaking at an event, the three of you like sponsoring an event. You know, there's so many different ways with community that it's just taking you out of the sales cycle for a minute, you know, like just being like, not really, I'm not trying to sell anyone anything here. Like, take yourself out of the sales. And where were you at with when your ideal client was facing a similar struggle? Like, I deal with imposter syndrome all the time. And like, even when I'm speaking on stage, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm speaking with these people, you know? But this is where sharing that, like, okay, well, I couldn't believe it when I was speaking on stage. Or like, so I recently did a post. So I spoke at Social Media Marketing World. That conference changed my business 4 years ago. And the fact that I could be there speaking is like a testament of like, okay, if you do these certain things, success can happen, you know. And it's really just taking yourself out of the, hey, don't you want to sign up to work with me and I can do your podcast strategy and social media strategy? It's look, 4 years ago, I was just like you. I was sitting in the audience learning as much as I could and really telling the story. I spoke with Chad Ia Peterson. He was you know who Chad is, right?
Yeah. Yep.
He's a story catcher. And I was speaking with him and just on how powerful stories are. Mm-hmm. And the more stories that you can incorporate into your social media is what's going to differentiate you in this. I know I'm talking with some AI people right now, but in this world of AI, your story is going to be that differentiator. It really is. And how can you bring your story into this world of AI? Because right now, like LinkedIn, I just did a LinkedIn post the other day. Like, do you want us to rewrite your post with AI? And I'm like, not really, but let's see what it looks like, you know? And soon we're going to have AI and, you know, like the many chats and the Stampede socials out there. We're going to have AI talking to AI and responding with AI. what's the point of even being on social media anymore? And it's you. It's your story. And these should be the posts that you look forward to every week, because they should be the easiest posts the easiest ones to find pictures of, to find the videos of, because it's just you sharing you.
I love that reframe, actually. Like, just even what you said there, which is like, this is the one that you should be looking forward to. I'm like, you're right. If I just approach it not from like a, oh gosh, like, you know, the close, like a defensive kind of like, what if what I share isn't good enough or people don't care or, you know, like all those things that, you know, you tell yourself. And I just approach it from like, well, this is just me. This is who I am. This is what I did. This is what we got up to. And it kind of almost doesn't matter in a way if people don't.
Well, and this is, I mean, like, this is the opportunity for people to really fall in love with you. And if people don't like you, then they're going to unfollow you.
Yeah.
And they weren't okay. You didn't want them to, you don't want their money anyways. So
exactly.
You know, this is the opportunity. Like, I was really afraid of, like, I make a lot of weird faces and I was always so self-conscious about it. I'm like, oh God, I can't turn my camera on or like for a podcast. I make weird faces when I talk. I talk with my hands all the time. But once I was like, well, that's just who I am, you know? And now I'm like, if I do a picture where I'm just smiling, like the engagement on it is like so-so. But if I'm like, weird face on it or like, people are all in on it. They're like, oh, yep, there's Katie and her weird faces, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like, I'm not saying that you got to be goofy, but that's just show up as you and the right people are going to connect with you. They're going to want to do business with you. They're going to want to be like, yeah, I'm her. I'm in her community. I'm in her circle. I get that. She's been where I am. I can get there too, or she can help me get there. You're going to find your people when you, like I said, your community post should be your favorite posts every week.
Yeah. And that's so true because honestly, without your weird faces, Katie, I don't think we could have been friends. And not only be friends, but actually be doing some really, really cool things together, which I am so excited to be sharing more on in due course. But yeah, we're doing a ton together, which is so exciting. But I want to thank you once again. This has been amazing. You have definitely personally helped us. And I'm so passionate about, you know, having people hear what it is that you have to say, because you can help so many more people. So thank you for being on Win the Content Game. And please tell people where you want them to go.
Yeah, well, connect with me on your favorite social media platform. You can see all the things at katiebrinkley.com and hopefully we can connect further from there.
And if you want a front row seat to how it is that we here at Capshow are implementing all the things that we're talking about to win the content game, then head over to the show notes and get in on Ash and Bonner's conversations. They're going to take you through the step-by-step in players only. Exclusive content for entrepreneurs who are committed to winning the content game. My name is Deidre Shen, and as always, stay intelligently lazy.